This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Connemara River, Pennsylvania. I welcome Selina Zito of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, of the New York Post, of the Washington Examiner, back from her trek into America. But early on, we're going to spend time with beekeeping along the Connemara River, New Florence, Pennsylvania. Selina and I are Keystoners. Everywhere in Pennsylvania is a wonderland. Selina, introduce us to Burl Knapp, master beekeeper. What did you learn on the Connemara? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thanks so much for having me on. Burl has this really, like a lot of beekeepers, has this beautiful apiary where he has his bees in boxes. I'm sure everyone has seen them at some point or the other, whether they're watching a nature show or driving down the road. And he has them in different spots near his home in New Florence. That's why you would have knotweed bee honey and or clover honey or buckwheat honey. Where the bees go and pollinate is what impacts the flavor of the honey. So he has his bees tucked in different places all along the Connemara River in Westmoreland County, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, who knew this, has 6,000 beekeepers. That means it's hard to miss them, but I always did. I didn't know. This is Penn State speaking, so I'm guessing they're concentrated in the joys of Western Pennsylvania. Is that where they are? Do they spread to Philadelphia?
They're all over the place. There are even urban beekeepers, which is why they predominantly produce clover honey, because clover is very, very common in city parks. But here's the most interesting thing, and it didn't even make the story that I found out about bees, about honey, is that it has a lot of medicinal qualities. And you're always supposed to ingest, eat, enjoy honey that was that comes from 3 counties from where you live. Why? Because those bees are in the same environment that you are, so they're ingesting the same pollen, and so it keeps. It actually is a medicinal benefit to have honey that comes from where you live.
Right. What we have here are pollinators. Now, what I know about pollinators is that I plant my wildflower patch each year, and the bees show up, the butterflies especially right now, and the hummingbirds show up. But that pollinator is also important for the food we eat, the state crops of Pennsylvania. You have a statistic here that 80% of the state crops depends on bees for pollination. And I believe you go as far as to say with Burl that without bees, we don't eat anything. We're not here. Is that correct?
That is absolutely true. Without bees, we don't have our fruits. We don't have our vegetables. That means not only do we not eat, but also the animals that we eat do not eat. So therefore, there is a chain reaction that it impacts all life forms.
Yes, dairy cows eat alfalfa, just in case you thought it was all about steak. It's also about milk. Now, there's some wisdom from our beekeeper about visit them too often. You upset them. Don't visit them enough. They get lost. You know, that would recommend itself to parents as well. And also to politicians. You know, visit us just enough, not too much. So what happens if you visit them too much? Does he describe what happens to the hive?
The bees get stressed out. When a bee is stressed out, then the queen is stressed out. And the queen is stressed out, she can die. The bee dies, then all the worker bees, which are predominantly female, are sort of lost. That's why you often see, if you see a swarm of bees, they more than likely have lost their queen. And without their queen, they're sort of scattered and all over the place, and they don't work together in the way that bees are very superior at doing.
The concern he has is something that happened between 2008 and 2013. There was a loss of hives throughout the state. Did they solve that mystery?
No, that's, you know, that's the that remains a mystery. No one knows what happened, but we lost, I think it was 27 or 30% of the bee population, and they just disappeared. And what's really sort of even more mysterious is they didn't even find the bodies. They were just gone.
Wow. Sort of like, you know, alien presence, something like that. Now, when we come to beekeeping, it's not just to be a colorful local character. It's also to make money. How does he sell the honey? I see that he has different presentations.
Yeah, so it's really great. So how I first met Burl was at the local farmer's market in Ligonier. And he was, I use honey a lot in my cooking. And if I have a cup of tea or lemonade, and I'm always trying different flavors of honey. My favorite is buckwheat, which is almost like a maple syrup. He was selling honey at a farm stand, and that's how they make the majority of their money. And there isn't a Saturday that I don't go there where it isn't packed with people with a line to buy his honey. There are also several other beekeepers there selling honey. It's one of the fastest selling things at a farm stand.
Right. He names his bottles of honey wildflower, buckwheat, clover, knotweed. Okay. This is the Ligonier Country Market, where you travel to purchase honey, and you use honey everywhere. Now we've developed the metaphor, we're going to use it, because there's politics going on in Pennsylvania as well. And from your reporting, the candidate for the Republican nomination, the successful Mehmet Oz, is traveling from beehive to beehive. Is that where he's been? He's with the beekeepers, because, as you say, there is no lower profile than hanging out with beekeepers. Where is he?
Everywhere. He's all across the state. I find it very sort of frustrating as a reporter to have followed him for thousands of miles all across the state, stopping in all 67 of our counties. Eventually, he got there. I didn't do all 67. Talking to people, listening to people, shaking people's hands, taking criticisms from people, you name it. He's been doing it, but there's very little coverage of that because his competitor, John Fetterman, former mayor of Braddock and now current sitting lieutenant governor and also recovering from a stroke that he had in May, has been gathering all the attention. Reporters love to write sort of glossy, wonderful profiles of this Harvard graduate coming to the city of Braddock and becoming its mayor. But the problem with this story is, while it's, you know, unique and interesting, he's also a unique and interesting person. He's 6'8". He's full of tattoos. He wears cargo shirts and hoodies all the time. His accomplishments and or his journey to where he is today has had very little scrutiny. And so, but he does, Fetterman is very adept at being sort of a bully on Twitter. He's very much like Donald Trump was on Twitter. And so that is where this election stands at this point.
Well, I go to the explanation from the beekeeper about how you keep bees. You visit them too often, they get stressed. You don't visit them at all, they don't know you're there. So let's go back to Mehmet Oz. Where is he in this calibration? Is he visiting not enough the voters, or is that to emerge?
No, he's visiting them a lot. That just doesn't emerge. Every time I've gone out with him, which has been several times and several thousand miles, there's no other reporter there. And that's sort of the problem. There has been very little attention to what he said or what he's doing, and much attention on every move that Fetterman makes and or every tweet that he rips off from his phone.
Well, how easy is it to cover a campaign if it's entirely on social media? I mean, that's a snap. You can do that. you can do that with work from home, right? You can be anywhere and cover that campaign. And your measure right now, because campaigns start after Labor Day, is that still true in the Keystone State, or have they moved the date up?
I always know about where things are going of the last week of September. That has given voters a couple weeks to catch up on doing their homework as to what is important to them going to the election. Their lives have started a more normal rhythm. And so, yes, right around the end of September, we'll understand what has become more important to voters.
Selina Zito of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, the Washington Examiner, the New York Post. We're headed to Champion, Pennsylvania to make you hungry at a vegetable stand. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.